This is a Locker Room production.
A post-All-Star break game for the Rockets, and they are the same old, same old. And Michael Brown, we're back, but it's yet again the same old, same old.
What's up, man? I feel like I haven't talked to you in like 6 months.
We have not talked in 6 days, well, at least.
All right, well.
But six months, sure, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Because the last game we did was the, like, 50-point blowout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since both of us have come together, but we do so for tonight's loss against the Sacramento Kings. Final score, 125-105. Welcome to the Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake. Jeremy Brenner here. And tonight, yeah, you know, I guess this game, it was the same thing, but I guess it had a different flavor to it a little bit. But, I mean, you can't call broccoli candy and it turned magically into candy, I guess.
Yeah. You know what, man? Honestly, like, watching this game, it definitely had some bright spots for me. I'm typically more of the pessimist during this, you know, 147-game losing streak that the Rockets have had, or so it feels. But tonight, I mean, actually getting to watch some of the youth of the future play, Kevin Martin, you know, KJ Martin Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., and Jay Sean Tate, I feel like all three of those guys had great games tonight. So
yeah, you know, yeah, obviously, we had been anticipating Kevin Porter coming. We've been talking about it for so long, and today he finally comes, and, you know, he had that freak moment in what was like, what, the second quarter, where he kind of falls awkwardly, goes to the locker room, and immediately we're like, oh, well, same old, look at us yet again, and then here we are. Luckily, though, he came back, and he ended up probably being the Rockets' best player tonight. He had 13 points, 10 assists, with only 4 turnovers, but you could tell with him that he brought a sense of energy tonight that the Rockets have sorely missed since James Harden has been here in the early part of the season.
Yeah, he definitely did. It's definitely the youth movement with him, where it just feels like the players feed off of his energy, and the way he sees the floor is on a different level than a lot of other players his age. And, you know, tonight, 5 of 11, you know, he forced, I think, some threes tonight, but anything inside of the three-point line, I felt like, just felt smooth. It felt very natural for him. And I thought he played a good game, but unfortunately, you know, the guys that were around him, outside of Tate and outside of, I thought Oladipo had an okay game. His game really didn't jump off the stat sheet or off the screen at me. I feel like him, Tate, and KJ Martin were the three guys who played a good game tonight.
Yeah, you know, I think Vic was just naturally going to have a decent game, only because, you know, there's not really anyone else that can create offense, especially when Eric Gordon left the game. It was really put on Vic's shoulders. And Eric Gordon actually played pretty well up until he left the game. And, man, that did not look like a good injury at all. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't. And that really is unfortunate, because Eric Gordon was getting all of that attention on the trade market, whereas probably he's not going to get that same kind of attention now.
No. And it was a non-contact injury when it happened.
Look, he pulled his groin. He pulled his groin. That's what it looked like to me.
It wouldn't shock me if he's out for at least 2 weeks. I'm going to say probably closer to a month.
Yeah, I mean, the trade deadline's in 2 weeks. And so that is, I guess, kind of the fears that you have when you lose a guy like that. But I'm going to throw this back to our listeners here at at Locker Room, on the Locker Room app. We're back on the Locker Room app for tonight's show. If you are here listening to us live, thank you so much for staying up late with us. If you want to come talk on the stage, feel free to hit your request button and we can accept it. Or if you have any comments or questions, feel free to drop it off in the chat. We have a couple listeners with us tonight, and I'm sure as the episode goes on, we'll have people coming in and out. So please feel free. This is a discussion. This is not a lecture hall. This is a discussion for the Rockets tonight. We obviously have a lot to discuss this evening. So, you know, I think, look, there's just so many different ways to go about this. But we're with Eric Gordon right now, so let's stick with this. So, you know, Eric Gordon, I wrote an article on the Dream Shake a few days ago, kind of just throwing out, casting a wide net, trying to figure out what kind of trade packages work for Eric Gordon. And when I was thinking of the West, you know, there weren't too many destinations that really made sense for Eric Gordon in the West. But in the East, there were a couple. And, you know, Philly makes some sense. And the one that I mocked was a trade with Milwaukee. Now, I'm not sure Milwaukee's going to want Eric Gordon after tonight, especially let's see what this prognosis is. But I'm just a little bit, you know, that's the kind of destination that we'd see Eric Gordon go in. But honestly, I'm not, like, upset if we keep Eric Gordon past the trade deadline. But I think we all know, like, Eric Gordon has the longest contract on this team, right? He has a contract that goes up until 2024. And he's in his 30s. I believe he's, what, 32, 33? 32. So if you can find a trade partner for him, you might as well take it because there's no guarantee that his value is going to be as high as it is right now. And I'd say that his value is pretty high. You could probably get a decent package for him. So, I mean, it is unfortunate. And, I mean, it looks like if this injury is long that we will keep him. And I mean, it'll be nice to have a guy like him kind of mentor and take some pressure off of guys like Kevin Porter and stuff like that. I mean, we'll see if we get to a point where maybe in the offseason he moves on. But, I mean, I think any chance of Eric Gordon getting traded before the deadline has been absolutely squashed right now.
I think it's a little early for that. I think it all depends on what the next 48 hours has to bear out with the injury. You and I are on the same page that I think that it's a pretty bad injury. But if it's, you know, if the prognosis is, you know, he'll be out for 3 to 4 weeks, there might be a team like Milwaukee that might come along and give you a pretty decent trade package that you would have to bite on.
Because I would really like him in Milwaukee. I really like that trade for Milwaukee.
The only thing with Milwaukee, though, is how much are they willing to give up, you know, since they gave up what they gave up for Drew Holiday?
Well, that's exactly why I think that that would be a good destination for the Rockets is because they are willing to pay for players like that. And I think the trade I came up with Eric Gordon in Milwaukee, I'm pulling it up right now, it's There's two versions of this trade, but here's the meat of it. It's DJ Augustine, Bobby Portis, and DJ Wilson. This year's draft pick and a pick swap for 2023. So you get basically two picks. Bobby Portis, you get some size up in the front court. DJ Augustine, I think, would be a great mentor for guys like KPJ, guys like. Like, I think that DJ Augustine is almost the perfect guy for this team. And he can shoot threes. Him. Yeah.
He's someone that in the offseason. Mm-hmm. That's somebody that I would have loved to have had.
Yeah. And look, he's from the Houston area. That doesn't hurt. So, did you two go to Hightower at the same time?
We did. We actually played basketball together.
Really?
Yeah. He was – before he went to the – he came to Hightower – because of one of the hurricanes. I can't remember what it was. And he was playing in Louisiana.
Katrina, I think. It was Katrina, yeah, I think.
And he was a man amongst boys, even at that age. The dude is just solid. I mean, he's a picture perfect replacement for a guy like Austin Rivers, who lost that just steady Eddie coming off of the bench. I do wonder, in an Eric Gordon trade, if you sweetened it with a guy like Daniel House, if you could come out of that with a guy like Dante DiVincenzo.
I don't think that's on the table.
No, I mean, that would be the sky is the limit for me with a guy like Gordon.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you could swing a guy like DiVincenzo, DiVincenzo makes a lot more sense long-term, I think, for the Rockets than Augustine does. But
He's not – but DiVincenzo is not realistic. He's at – like, there's no reason that the Bucks would trade him at this point, no. I don't think.
That's why I say if you enhance the trade with a guy like House – you could potentially get a guy like that.
But, I mean, look, Daniel House is hurt. Everyone's hurt on this team. Like, it's hard to win basketball games when half your team is hurt and the other half can't shoot.
I'm glad you brought up the injuries. Let me ask you a very candid question. Do you really think Daniel House is hurt and John Wall is hurt?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Absolutely.
I don't believe it for 5 seconds.
Absolutely.
No way.
You don't think John Wall's hurt?
Nope, I don't.
Why not? Why not?
Because all of the... all of the trade speculation surrounding
there's not any trade speculation about
that. But hold on. But let me.
What are you talking about, Mike?
But the first game after the All-Star break,
He got hurt in practice. They said it was a knee contusion. He got in practice.
Okay. And Daniel House, what is Daniel House's?
Daniel House has been hurt for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, coming off of the All-Star break, a lot of guys have
come off injured of the All-Star break.
But it just seems fishy. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think it's fishy at all.
I mean, we haven't gotten to the prima donna that is PJ Tucker yet. I'm sure we're going to get to him in a few minutes.
Obviously, we've said something that has inspired Zeke to come up on stage. So, Zeke, what's going on, man? What you feeling on this Thursday evening / early Friday morning?
I think, honestly, I'm pleasant. Okay. We lost again. It's very sad.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know, right?
By 20 points to a crappy team.
Right. So. You know what I've started doing on Twitter? Every time we lose, or just even on Locker Room in general, it's like every time we lose, I said, guess what, guys? We're in this X and Y losing streak. Let's fucking go. You know?
Let's go. Yes.
Let's go. You know, because what else is there to really talk about, right?
So you're rooting for the team to lose?
No, not exactly.
Why that's what you just said, though. You're rooting for the team to lose.
Mike, I think you took it out of context. I think he's just trying to make fun of the situation a little bit.
Yeah, you're trying to make yourself laugh through the pain, right? Because even if we're losing, the only way that losing will taste sweet is if we kept that top four pick, which has a 52% chance of conveying. And even if it conveys, you may not even get Cade Cunningham, right? That's another odds within itself, right? The point of the matter is this, that if we're looking through what you saw today to be happy, is that KPJ is solid, right?
Yes.
That's the only thing. KPJ is solid.
And he's healthy.
And we need to find a way to find minutes and build around him and Christian Wood and whatever the future is. We need to find a way to sell off all of our veterans just so that we can move forward and have a clean break. It is easier to lose when you know you're losing with rookies rather than losing with veterans that are trying hard to make themselves look good.
Yeah, and maybe that's why this loss feels maybe a little bit different than the rest of them, is because you look at tonight's game and you look at who played for the Rockets. I think they had 4 rookies. Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, Anthony Lamb are all rookies, but Kevin Porter hasn't played a full NBA season. Justin Patton hasn't played a full NBA season. The only veterans you had on your roster tonight were Eric Gordon, Vic, Sterling Brown, and Ben McLemore. So they were there. I mean, it was the Vipers and some veterans.
I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. looked good tonight, right? 100%.
Yeah.
But it's also one game against a very, very mediocre Sacramento Kings team.
Was there anything about KPJ that we didn't like tonight?
His 3-point shot. I mean, it was 1 of 5 from the 3-point line.
Yeah, well, I think everyone is still frozen from the Houston freeze that happened a few weeks ago.
Well, but I mean, to be fair, like, yeah, I mean, that's a part of his game that I look to, and I'm like, okay.
It's contagious. It's contagious how everyone's kind of been cold, and it looks like, I mean, but also, yes, it's only one game.
You know what? When I look at players, like, around their first few games of coming to a new team, regardless of what team it is, I don't look so much about their actual performance. I look so much for their poise on the court, right? Mm-hmm. And KPJ, for the most part, for a guy who hasn't played and has been unceremoniously kicked out for throwing food, right, and has been sent to the Gulag, which is the G League, he had some nerves, but he still played like he belonged. And a lot of the times when he played, you can actually tell the difference and the impact of intangibles of what he did on the court, right? And that's where, like, I am happy, because that is something we have sorely missed. Because even when you compare him to Oladipo, you can see how much of a better player he is than Oladipo right now for this team.
No.
Oladipo,
you can't go there.
What?
You can't go there. So he's not a better player than Victor Oladipo.
No one's saying he is. I'm saying
you just said he was a better player than Victor Oladipo.
All right, he's not a better player. We're bringing Angel in.
He's not a better player than Victor Oladipo. Come on.
Angel, what's happening?
First off, tough loss for you guys. Very unfortunate.
Hey, man.
Shooting wise.
You know how we feel.
Is that 13 or is that 13 or 14?
We lost count after 5 or 6.
That's tough.
I think it's
I hope for the best.
Yeah, the right answer I think is 14. I seriously lost count. Okay.
We're game number 14.
14. This was 14. My favorite number is 14, though. So maybe
many Kings fans were saying, "Oh, we're facing the G League Rockets today."
And you were. Yeah, because
they had Kevin Porter who made his debut, mm-hmm. and Kenyon Martin Jr.
Mm-hmm.
It was just tough.
And Anthony Lamb. Yeah. So I think. I'm looking now on Twitter about this PJ Tucker stuff. I know we're if whoever has the background noise, could you please mute? Thank you. So, looking at this PJ Tucker stuff, and this is what Steven Silas says in his press conference. This is pretty interesting. We're going to try to figure out something that works for him and works for us as far as him not being on the team anymore. I was under the assumption that he was going to play tonight, and he didn't play. That was disappointing. That's very interesting, in my opinion.
No, yeah, he's a prima donna that I would get rid of tomorrow.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah. He's a prima donna. That's what he is.
No, he's not.
Oh, my feelings are hurt because I haven't been traded to a contender. Shut your mouth and go play basketball. I'm so sick and tired of it.
Mike, you're but the thing is, Mike, if he played tonight, you'd probably, you know, fetch about how he played tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
So you're fetching about how he didn't play tonight. And you're just gonna complain about him,
right?
Okay, so
exactly.
Because that's what he is. Because he's a headache for this team at this point,
Mike. So what would you rather have? Would you rather have him do his usual spiel of this season, which is to run around and do suicides on the court for 94 feet for 2 hours, or would you rather him sit on the bench and then have people lied, you know, have people convinced that he can come and change life for a contender? I think I'd rather him sit on the bench.
But he wasn't on the bench. He wasn't even on the bench. That's my problem. Well, I don't want him playing basketball, but I want him with the team.
If Steven Silas was under the assumption that he was going to play tonight, he's in Sacramento. He has to be. Right. So if he wasn't on the bench, where was he? Was he in his hotel room?
He was probably sitting at home buying, you know, sneakers on the internet, which is probably what he's been at.
So you're saying he was on StockX tonight? Just
but Mike, what I'm trying to say is, if Steven Silas is under the assumption he was going to play tonight, he's definitely with the team.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't in the arena. Why was he not there?
I think what happened with this whole thing, I think the Stone made a decision that, you know what, like, PJ, this is going to happen soon. We don't want you to get hurt or anything like that. So it's probably best that you just stay where you are. Let's let our younger guys play and go from there. I mean, I don't think PJ Tucker not playing tonight was a bad thing for this team. Like, right. It's not like it was going to make things better tonight. It's not like the Rockets are going to win tonight if PJ was playing.
Exactly. And I think in this case, it's like, if we try to make the case, oh, well, Victor played. The thing is that PJ doesn't have much to prove. Victor does, because Victor is coming off a horrific injury. So, like, the more Victor plays, the more you're not looking so much at how productive he can be. It's more of how reliable he can be in terms of his health, and can he perform and, you know, change and life.
You're going to tell me that PJ Tucker has nothing to prove? He's been awful this season.
Well, here's the thing.
What, PJ doesn't really have anything to prove. I don't see what he has to prove.
No, what is he? But what has he done this year to make a team go, oh, you know what? I'm going to trade assets for a guy who's 35, an expiring contract, and hasn't shown that he can guard a corpse or hit a three to save his life this season.
So Shams Charania just tweets that PJ and the Rockets agreed he will no longer be with the team and are working to find a resolution. So there Good. You go.
Bye.
So
I thought she was going to play for you guys today.
Yeah, I thought Christian Wood was going to play. He's going to be back. I think they said he's going to be back on Monday. I think they said Monday is the day. But Mike, I have like a bug to pick with you.
Come on, let's go.
Because it's like almost that you're basically discrediting the 3 years PJ had before this one. Right. And you can't really say that the Rocket, and look, I'm not saying that PJ, and even as late as this season, where guys like John Wall were talking about how important PJ is for this team. So you can't say that, you know, like I find it very hard to just forget like all of that happened. Whereas you seem to just easily, you know, forget about it. And you're like, well, thank God he's gone. Like, don't let you were like this with Harden too. I don't like, do you just have like short-term memory with this or things like that? Cause I'm hurt. Well, I'm not hurt, but I'm disappointed, but I'm not like upset because I understand where PJ's coming from and I want the best for PJ. I guess where it comes between you and me is I want each player to succeed as well as the team, whereas you're more just like, I want the Rockets to succeed. I don't really care about the players individually.
Absolutely. I don't give a damn about a player. If he's no longer playing for the Rockets, bye.
But why do you feel that way?
Who cares? Like, because let me ask you a question, right? Okay, so you asked me why I feel that way, because the only thing that matters here is the success of the Rockets organization.
I don't necessarily see – but why do you see it that way?
For me.
Why do you see it that way?
Mike, why do you care what PJ Tucker does when he leaves the organization? Why does anybody care?
Because I appreciated what he did for the team while he was here, and I hope that he
led to no real team success.
Mike, oh my God. No.
Hold on.
I'm going to mute everyone else. This is crazy. Mike.
Yeah.
In the 130 some odd episodes of The Dream Take and Harden My Take, that might be the dumbest sentence you've ever said.
Why? Because you know what this is? This is the
like
the
I'm Houston questioning Texans. I'm questioning everything right now.
This is the Houston Texans division banner going into the rafters. Who cares? That means nothing. The only thing that really matters here is the quest for a championship.
No, Mike, that's just absolutely okay. Not, and you can't say that PJ Tucker was not part of that through the three seasons where the Rockets were a championship contender while he was here.
He was a vital piece of those teams.
Exactly.
I'm not disagreeing.
Okay, but
that.
You just said that he had no, you know, contribution to our team success.
What I'm saying is he was not a part of a team that did anything of significance for the Rockets organization.
I think the 2018 team, although it didn't end in a championship, is a significant team.
That's a moral victory for the Rockets organization. That is a moral. If any team that is contending for a title, which the Rockets were in 2018, right? And they didn't even make it to the finals. What is that? That's grasping at straws at a championship story. We almost made it to the championship.
But Mike,
so congrats. He was a vital piece of a team that didn't even make it to the finals.
Okay.
He was a great piece, great guy, played his ass off, and I'm thankful for all of his time in Houston. But at this point, that time has come to an end, and it's time for him to go.
Okay, but you don't even look at the 2018 team and think of the circumstance as to why that team didn't win a championship.
I certainly do, but at the end of the day, it's a reason they didn't win, but ultimately they didn't win. That's the only thing I care about, is they didn't get the job done. And if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, you or I are on the same page. They beat Golden State. They go on. They obliterate the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And not only did they played Golden State with Kevin Durant, and they took that team to 7 games.
But didn't win.
So you're just going to completely discredit everything that they did because it didn't happen to be a championship. 29 teams go home without winning a championship every year, but that doesn't mean that they don't have any value.
Right. I look.
So you're throwing away everything that has happened in the last 8 years because you're salty that Chris Paul hurt his hamstring.
I'm not salty. It happened.
I think you're very salty.
No, I'm salty because they didn't find a way to win. And as they
they didn't find a way to win from circumstances that they could not control.
They had other players on the team. They couldn't get it done.
Oh my God.
Look, all I'm saying is why do we watch sports? Because we want our team to contend and win titles. Period. End of story. I'm not here to wish my team to a moral victory in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying you are either. What I'm saying is that's why I look at a guy like PJ Tucker and I say he has no more value to this team. He can go. You want to act like an entitled little baby and you're sad that you're not traded to a team.
Okay, but I don't think it's only PJ. I think that this is a decision made by the team as well.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he's an asset for contending teams. Like somebody said in the chat, like send him to Minnesota. Why would Minnesota want a 35?
No, who said that? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
He's
exactly.
Going to Philly or Brooklyn at this point. Yeah, that's what I think.
Philly, the Brooklyn, the Utah, the Denver.
The Lakers might be want him. Like there are teams that want him because of what he can contribute. And while it may only be a second round pick, that's a second round pick that the Rockets don't currently have.
Yeah, but, and they can draft players to help them become better in the future.
To clarify what that person said, he said, screw what PJ wants, send him to the team that offers the best package. And I agree with that person because it's all about the Rockets.
I agree, PJ wants and what the Rockets need to do in order to trade him, they go in hand. The only teams that would want him is a contending team. And the contending teams are willing to pay any price for him.
But you need to send him to whoever. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Charlotte. Whoever offers you the best trade package, you take it and you run with it.
The thing is, rebuilding teams are not going to offer a trade for PJ Tucker. It just doesn't. It doesn't make sense because they know he's not going to come, and they're just going to agree to a buyout. So maybe it could be seen as like, if a team wants to move on from a certain player and they need like if they're looking for a salary dump kind of deal, and then that team buys out PJ Tucker, that was like an option. But at this point, I think he's going to go – I think he's either going to get bought out because they're saying a solution. So at this point, Shams just told everyone, like, PJ's never going to play the Rockets again. So the worst-case scenario is that the Rockets don't get a pick for him, a second-round pick, and he gets bought out.
Right.
And so then he has the free will to sign for whichever team he pleases. And I think that's where it's going to go at this point. Especially,
and if that happens, then you have to agree with Michael's point because they essentially gave him what he wanted rather than trading him for what is best for you and him.
The J.J. Watt scenario with the Texans, they couldn't have handled that situation worse than they did.
Well,
to go to wherever he wanted because of all he did for the franchise, which never led them to an AFC title game. But that's
shut up, Mike. You're not even a Texans fan.
Well, I mean, it's true. It's the same.
Saying J.J. Watt did nothing for the Texans is absolutely ludicrous.
No, yeah, but by league standards, by performance on the field and team performance, which is the only thing that really matters for an organization, what did he really accomplish?
But I think, honestly, Mike, those two things are false equivalencies. You're comparing J.J. Watt, who is a Hall of Famer, to
a 3-and-D wing that underpaid.
No. What I'm comparing it to is you take a player and you have to do what's best for your franchise, period, end of story.
That is- but what I'm saying is that your where the context gets lost is that for somebody like Watt, I don't know if the NFL works the same way as the NBA. They have agents. The same agents that has Watt may have another player that may be interested. In free agency, if you want to get that player, that agent can say, you did my player foul. I'm not bringing him there. That happens a lot in the NBA.
But he's under contract. There's a difference. He's under contract, and you can take that contract and trade it to whoever you want. He made them feel guilty and got them to cut him, and he went to where he got the bag.
You can also do right by a player that has sacrificed his body and health and been a representative of your organization, a good representative at that, and maybe you're just wanting to incorporate good business. You know, that's what the Rockets did with DeMarcus Cousins. They guaranteed his contract and cut him the very next day. You know, that's where I think that's what happened with PJ is they looked at PJ. They said, what do you want, PJ? Do you want a trade? And they probably asked around for a trade. And I know they did because there were teams that were going around. There was those reports coming out that said, you know, oh, the Rockets are showing inconsistencies in the package for PJ. And we all knew that it wasn't going to be like a second round pick or much more than that. And that second round pick was going to be late in the second round anyway. Right. So it's not like the Rockets are losing all that much by letting PJ go on his own and becoming a free agent than trading him for a second round pick. It just, and you know, maybe they will find a trade for him. There's, you know, he's still technically on the Rockets roster and he can still be traded. It doesn't seem likely that's going to happen, but it still has a possibility of happening. You know, maybe he'll get traded if the team wants to include him as a salary. And like what the guy said in the chat, you know, maybe he'll be a salary for a bigger trade or whatever. But at this point, like arguing like this whole PJ thing, it's unfortunate because I this doesn't make me think of PJ any differently. You know, this like PJ, he was a special kind of player, like the same archetype as Shane Battier, as I mean, like that kind of guy. You know, he threw his body on the line. He got banged up, still played pretty much every game that he possibly could. And you know, I'm gonna look back on PJ's career as a Rocket as a success. And when he came here 4 years ago, he was seen as kind of this role player. But I think when the Rockets signed him 4 years ago, they didn't think they were going to get as much value out of PJ as they did. So I think overall, his tenure as a Rocket is a success. And Mike, if you don't see that because the Rockets didn't win a championship, that's fine. But just don't, like, just treat him like he was nothing for 4 years. Like, I don't think that's very fair for him.
I'm not treating him like he was nothing. As I've said before, I appreciate him for what he was to this team during their run. Mm-hmm. No doubt, 100%, we would not have had the team success that we had without him. But at this point, he serves no value to this team. And you need to get what you can instead of just buying him out and letting him walk for nothing. There's going to be a team, a contending team, that will give something for PJ Tucker. You have to get something out of PJ Tucker. That's the only thing I'm saying as it pertains to the current situation of PJ Tucker.
And I think that's what's going to happen. And if he does get bought out, that's when I trend with Michael and think that he was hell-raising, because for him to not be on the floor or anywhere near the team and to be sent off somewhere else, while
but that we all might not know have that been, he was... But that might not have been PJ's decision. We don't know that.
No, we don't know that, but it's just the idea that he was also siding with Harden throughout the ordeal, right? And it may come off to people who are sensitive to that situation to feel like he was crafting his own way out in behind the scenes. I don't think he was out there like throwing chairs and flipping tables. I doubt it, right? But if the ownership or front office is saying that they need to like keep him away from the team, then that is probably alluding to one or two things. Either that they already have a trade in place for him, or that his influence on the team behind the scenes were negative and it could be detrimental to the team.
Let's compare this to the LaMarcus Aldridge situation. Do you think LaMarcus Aldridge was a cancer for the team, for the Spurs? No.
Served no purpose for that team anymore.
And PJ Tucker, I would the word cancer and PJ Tucker are like as far away from each other as they possibly can. Like I don't like when you say that, Zeke, it I don't think that, like, I can't imagine that being true. And no, you know, I don't think maybe he's a cancer. And I'm just maybe it is.
That could be that's what this situation means. Either that they have a trade for him or something for him, or he was pushing his way out beyond.
But if you, I mean, but look, PJ is reading what's on the wall. He's 35 right. In the last year of his contract. He's in, you know, probably wants to play one more contract. He's on a team that is injured beyond belief.
Right.
That is at the bottom of the barrel in the standings. Why wouldn't you want out if you're a PJ who's, you know, came to Houston to contend for championships and he did that. Right. And now he's going to go hopefully compete and hopefully get that one.
Right. No, I agree. That's why I'm saying that I don't mind him leaving, right? But at the end of the day, I still think he's an asset for contending teams. You shouldn't cut bait for him just based off what he wants. You know what I mean? Like, that's where
discretion goes. But the thing is, this happens every season to the worst teams in the league. Right. The worst teams in the league have their veterans, and it's just counterproductive for them to be on the floor when you're trying to develop your youth, right?
I agree.
That's why it makes sense. It doesn't make sense for Blake Griffin to be playing for the Pistons anymore.
I agree.
The LaMarcus Aldridge situation is different because they're actually in the playoffs, but their overall look is to play the younger guys.
Right.
So, and you could also look at teams like the Cavs. You know, Andre Drummond is, you know, not been with the team now for how long? Like, he was, you know, and he still isn't playing with them. And he's been on the sideline now for weeks. And you were thinking at some point, because the Cavs were playing so well and he was playing so well, that maybe even though his contract was uber pricey, that you could get something for him. But that didn't happen. So this happens every year. And maybe as Rockets fans, we're not as privy to it because we're always one of the teams that's buying in the buyout market. But this is common. Like, this is not like this is something we can't put all this blame on PJ for. PJ's doing what's best for him.
I'm not putting blame on him. I'm just saying that there's two ways it can go. I'm on the camp that, like, hey, it's time to sell the veterans, all right? You know what? The jig is up. We're losing. We're not making the playoffs. There's like a 0.1% chance to, in the ESPN forecaster, to like make the playoffs. You sell off your veterans for whatever you can get for them.
Yeah.
And you play the young guys and you develop them. And that even if you don't like the word tank, guess what? We're on a 14-game losing streak. Get over it. We're tanking without even trying. Like, we are going to do everything possible to keep that top four pick.
There's a difference, though, with tanking. Is I think tanking means trying to lose.
Yeah, like forfeiting. But I think for me,
this team, I don't think is doing that.
Yeah,
which I'm appreciative of. I would honestly, the best case scenario, I think, for me, is the Rockets see signs, like, is similar to what tonight's game was, right? You played tonight, you played a bad team, so you improve your draft odds, I guess, because you lose to a bad team. Worse than Sacramento's draft odds, and then, but you also, you can take positives out of tonight's game. Jayshon Tate had one of his better games as a Rocket. KJ Martin had his best game as a Rocket. I think his G League development really helped him, and he doesn't look as lost on the floor as he had been when he was up here earlier in the year. And, of course, Kevin Porter. So I'm looking at tonight's game, and I think that there's something you can take and you can build off of it. And now with Eric Gordon out, there's a chance that there's that chance that Kevin Porter and, you know, KJ get more playing time now because of that. So I'm excited to see where this team goes. I don't think it's, you know, we can really look at this team and in full light until after the trade deadline, when Oladipo is gone, when Tucker is gone, when,
agreed,
you know, you have some assets for some of these guys, and then you have a full team. And then when Wood's in the fold as well, then you actually have a legit group of guys that are not going anywhere anytime soon. and you can build something off of it finally. Because the one thing the Rockets have not had this whole damn season is consistency with the lineup. They have been in and out, injured here, injured there. This guy's injured. No, wait, this guy's injured. It's like they have not been able – they've had, what, 20 lineups in 35 games? Something ridiculous. Like, just – so I'm looking forward to getting a group of guys that might not necessarily be the most talented guys, that might not win a whole lot of games, but that are at least coming together and building something that's worth moving forward with. Is that fair?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, from that's literally my perspective this whole time is like, let's sell off the vets or whatever we can sell off, play the young guys. If we're able to get to keep our top four protected pick, fine. If we're getting a lottery, you know, draft Cade, and you will have a backcourt of KPJ Cade, and you would actually have Tate, and you will have whatever what you feel about Martin, you have Patton, and you have Wood. And you can go into the free agency and try to sign and trade for Collins, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to even trade. You would have cap room because you got rid of the veteran. So you can
or a guy like Aaron Gordon,
right,
who has been rumored for. You know, I like that we're starting to see the Rockets kind of act on what Rockets Twitter has been kind of talking about. You know, where we've been talking about getting a legit four for I don't know how long. And it looks like that might actually happen, you know, with Aaron Gordon or with
Collins.
Or with Collins, something like that. And we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see what this team is going to look like moving forward. I think that we have there is something to look forward to with these games, you know. I think tonight was rough. But look, Think about it like this. Kevin Porter Jr. turns 21 in 2 months.
Ridiculous.
Like, he's ridiculous. Crazy. That's ridiculous, bro. Like,
and we got
that,
him for
that to me gives me a lot of hope. Because, yeah, and we got him for peanuts. Like, he's a guy that you can tell, like, I think you can tell from just one game that the ideas that were perforating in our heads over the last couple weeks with Kevin Porter and, oh, he's going to be, you know, the Harden replacement. He's going to be the chosen one almost. He kind of has that aura about him a little bit, that he's kind of the chosen one. He kind of came to us out of nowhere, and he's meant to be the Rockets guy. And you did see a little bit of that tonight, because when he played on the floor tonight, the Rockets looked better. Mm-hmm. And that was what I was looking forward to. And it's only going to go up from here. He's 20 years old, still one of the rawest players in the league, and it's only going to get better from here when it comes with KPJ. I'm so thrilled that we have him on the roster. I wouldn't be this excited about the Rockets or this hopeful about the Rockets if Kevin Porter was not in the fold.
Right. I'm not even going so far to say, like, KPJ is, like, the chosen one. But it's nice to know that your team finally looks like they're trying to go for a real direction and a real identity. And you can actually see it. That's the point of why the Rockets, you know, past losing streaks, you know, the past games that we lost are so painful. Because when you're telling yourself, like, yeah, we're missing Christian Wood, but then you have all these talented veterans, you think that you should at least, like, will out games and win some of them. You shouldn't go on a extended losing streak where you're like, you're questioning depression watching the game. Like, you're questioning, like, having a drinking game to actually entertain yourself to watch as a passionate fan. And that's why I feel Michael's pain, because there's so much confusion when you watch these games. You don't know where to direct your anger at. You don't know if you should direct it at the players. Don't know if you should direct it at Harden himself, Mike D'Antoni, or Maury and the way he left, or to blame it on the ownership himself in Tillman, right? In Tillman Fertitta. Yeah. So it's a lot. But now that the team is actually losing, and I'm not going to say losing with a purpose, but, like, you actually can see there's future here, there's the light at the end of the tunnel, it's easy for you to digest these games. And I think that's what Rockets fans need to understand. We've never been a losing team before. It's been so long since we ever lost.
And what I'll tell you, Zeke, and what I'll tell Mike, and what I'll tell all of Red Nation, all of our listeners, is don't get mad at things you can't control. Like, you cannot, like, unless you are within the Rockets organization, which majority of us, if not all of us that are listening to this, are not, like, you can't get mad over things you can't control. So kind of just roll with the punches in a way, and things will get better. And I think Kevin Porter is a sign of that. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to look at tomorrow night. If tomorrow night even happens, because at this point, I think that's a legit question now, especially considering the fact that, that PJ is definitely not going to be playing tomorrow night. So the Rockets need 8 guys to play tomorrow, right? They have 7, right? They have Sterling Brown, at least as from what we know so far in terms of, no injuries and stuff like that. So the Rockets have Sterling Brown, Jayshon Tate, Justin Patton, KJ Martin, Kevin Porter, Ben McLemore, and Anthony Lamb. They still need one more. And John Wall, maybe could be that 8th guy, or Victor Oladipo could maybe be that 8th guy. We know that Vic doesn't play back-to-backs. And John Wall, if he had a knee contusion, I wouldn't be so, like, I wouldn't be rushing to get him back on the court, you know, just to play, you know, just to lose to the Utah Jazz. Like, this is not ideal to me. And that's the thing, is we're going into tomorrow night with maybe 8 guys, half of whom haven't played a full season in the NBA, against the best team in the NBA on a back-to-back. That's just cruel. That's really cruel. And of course, then, like, and seeing it play out now, like, I think when the streak was at, like, 4 or 5, it was kind of like, okay, they're kind of, you know, they've hit a couple bad games. But now it's, like, not really a surprise as to why they're losing these games. Like, they just simply have no bodies. They have nobody playing. And not only that, they're playing, you know, a really tough schedule on top of that. So, look, if Vic, maybe Vic has to play tomorrow. Maybe not. I don't think this game is going to happen tomorrow, guys. I'm going to be honest. You know, maybe Vic will, you know, decide that he's going to play tomorrow. I don't know why he would do that. You know, maybe John Wall decides that he's back tomorrow. I don't see why that's going to happen. I think Steven Silas said in his press conference that he doesn't see any of the guys that are out that are going to come back tonight. It's not like Nawab is coming back. He just had surgery. Maybe Daniel House. I don't think that's going to happen either. So, is this team going to play tomorrow, guys? Mike?
They'll play.
You think so? Who's going to play? Who's going to be the 8th guy?
I think John Wall comes back.
You think it's going to be John Wall?
Yeah.
And how much do the Rockets lose by tomorrow with their half G League team against the best team in the league?
25.
That's generous.
Yeah. I think they'll be down by 30-plus in the fourth, and Ben McLemore
will. I wonder what the line is for this game. What is the betting line for this game?
It's got to be 22.5 would be my guess.
That's unheard of in the NBA.
Not when you're playing this garbage heap of a team that the Rockets are putting out right now. Right.
ESPN BPI is giving the Rockets a 20.7% chance to win this game. That is generous, very generous.
Very generous.
Thank you, ESPN BPI.
Yeah, take the vast under on that one.
Rockets Jazz betting line. The Rockets are plus 800 tomorrow. 14.5 is the betting line as of 12:20-ish East Houston time.
Yeah, I may throw down some money on Utah. That's easy. That's easy.
Fair enough. I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for tonight. Thank you so much to Zeke for coming and talking with us here on Locker Room. Thanks to our listeners. And thank you to everyone who is following our podcast. Be sure to follow our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. If it's on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, be sure to subscribe and follow us there. We go live either on any one of our socials after every game, despite how bad this team is. We might be going live tomorrow night if the Rockets end up playing tomorrow, but just keep an eye at thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets on sbnation.com. You can follow the Dream Shake on Twitter at DreamShakeSBN, and you can follow the Dream Take, the number one podcast at the Dream Shake, at the Dream Take on Twitter. Be sure to also follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
@BSWPodcast_MB.
And you can also follow me on Twitter @JeremyBrenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!